Hello, college football fans. Happy week one. This is the podcast, The Fifth Quarter, a college football podcast. I'm your host, John Shomo. We've gotten week zero out of the way. There were four games in all involving FBS schools. Two of them were versus FCS opponents, so we won't really go into those much. But there were two games that we do want to concentrate on and talk about just a little bit here. There are about 100 games coming up this weekend, and we'll discuss three or four of those upcoming. But let's get into a recap of week zero, if we could. One, the game of note, the game that College Game Day was at overseas in Dublin, Ireland, was an upset. Florida State got beat at the buzzer by a field goal by Georgia Tech and lost to the Yellow Jackets 24-21. We did call that on the first podcast. We called that it would be a closer game than the experts thought, and boy, was that right. I didn't call a loss for Florida State, but that's what happened. So now what? Well, remember, we're in the new 12-team playoff era. They are certainly not out of contention for the playoff. That was a league loss for Florida State, by the way, an ACC conference loss. So it hurts them in that regard. The ACC teams still play eight conference games. So if Florida State would go ahead and win their other seven ACC contests, and they have a couple of tough ones, they would certainly, I think, qualify for the ACC championship game and be able to win their way in that way. I would pose this question to you. How many of you think a 10-2 Florida State team would not make a 12-team playoff? I think at least they'd be highly under consideration. It would depend on how all the other conferences shook out, and that's always the case. Of course, really, I suppose you can't blame Florida State people for being a little pessimistic after what happened to them in 2023, going undefeated, winning the ACC title, and being excluded from last year's four-team playoff. So, yeah, they've been shook by that a little bit. I'm sure it was not a happy flight back for the Seminoles. They play this coming Monday night against Boston College. So we'll see how they rebound, if you will. Georgia Tech's better than people think. I'm not really surprised. I'm not surprised at all that they gave Florida State a tough game. I'm not too surprised that they won the game. They're tough. Look for them to make some noise this year. I'm not calling them for the playoff, but I think they're going to be a tough out for ACC opponents. The other game of note involving two FBS squads was held at Reno, Nevada, between SMU, a new ACC school, by the way, and the Nevada Wolfpack. Nevada, being 4-20 the last 2 years, has a new coaching staff, and that coaching staff had them playing really hard at home in some cool weather. SMU was shaky for the first three quarters. They trailed going into the fourth quarter, but they rallied, scored a couple of touchdowns late, and took home a 29-24 win back to Texas. So I don't know what that says about SMU. I look for them to be competitive in the ACC, but they were pretty shaky. Nevada's probably better than the experts thought, though, I would say that. A couple of things that I found interesting as I was watching Saturday. One, it was interesting to see that the college football scene has adopted the communication devices that have been used in the NFL for years now, where the coach can talk directly to the quarterback through the earpiece in the helmet. The quarterback has the green dot on the helmet. So does one player on defense. I wonder what might have happened in the last 3 years that would have prompted college football to go that route. Was there some situation at a school that might have caused that? I'll think about that. Maybe I'll comment on that later. Anyway, also the other interesting thing, watching telecasts, there's a new rule in college football that there is an official timeout at the 2 minute mark in the first half and at the 2 minute mark in the fourth quarter. In the NFL, obviously, they've called that the two-minute warning
forever.
They didn't call it that. They made a point. The announcers of the games made a point, seemingly, not to say two-minute warning. They were calling it and referring to it as the two-minute timeout. It makes me wonder if the NFL has some sort of patent or copyright on the term two-minute warning. I'll have to look into that. I don't know, but I found it interesting that they really were careful to call it the two-minute timeout, and nobody slipped up and called it the two-minute warning. Even the two announcers in Dublin who were drinking Guinness during the game, they didn't make that mistake either. Okay, another thing I noticed watching, I think it was the SMU game, halftime show comes on. The game was on CBS Sports Network, and on the panel of experts analyzing the game was Cardale Jones. Yes, Ohio State fans, that Cardale Jones, national championship quarterback from 2014, Cleveland Glenville graduate, had a brief pro career, and he's now a studio analyst. That's the last thing anybody would have expected in about 2013 or early 2014, when the only thing Cardale Jones was famous for was that unfortunate tweet that he sent out, "I didn't come here to play school." He has matured and grown as a man so much in those 10 years. It's really great to see. Proud of the guy. And it was awesome to see Cardale Jones in the studio as an analyst. And he did a good job, too. So way to go, Cardale. Shout out there. It's a great story, really. Okay. Moving on to a situation here that we're looking at that's been kind of ongoing since last October. On Sunday afternoon, the NCAA announced that the University of Michigan had been served a notice of allegations for the so-called sign-stealing scandal involving Connor Stallions and some of the coaching staff. It really may go deeper than that. There is a possibility that it involved stealing video illegally that the FBI would actually have to get involved in. There are some stories out there that Michigan had Ohio State practice film that had hacked in and stolen it. That may be a separate issue at the moment. I'm not sure if that's in the notice of allegations or not. Anyway, they were served on Sunday. They have 90 days to respond. 90 days from Sunday takes you to about Monday, November 25th, which would be the Monday of, as we call it here in Ohio, Michigan Week. That would be a heck of a time for that to drop. I look for them to try to maybe get that out of the way, or at least answer the allegations or settle or something before November 25th. The sources on that are really good. 11warriors.com has been spot on. Nicole Auerbach of NBC had some additional information. She said that assistant coaches Jesse Minter and Denard Robinson, yes, that Denard Robinson, the former quarterback, are negotiating with the NCAA separately on a resolution of their two cases, the allegations against them personally. The rest of the people involved, and that could be anyone in the program from Connor Stallions to former coach Harbaugh to current coach Kryon Sharone Moore, they will go to a hearing and we'll see what happens. There are a lot of possibilities for punishments. They include vacating, if you will, wins against teams that were illegally scouted for the 2021, 22, and 23 seasons. It includes the Big Ten possibly vacating their Big Ten championships from those 3 years. I don't know about the College Football Playoff Committee, what they would do, if they would do anything, but that's been mentioned in some of the reporting as a possible punishment. It's interesting, again, I think I mentioned it last week, that the head of the CFP committee at the moment is the Michigan Athletic Director, Ward Manuel. Ward Manuel might not even have a job in December at Michigan. We'll see. That's speculation. Put it out there as speculation. But I don't think things are looking too rosy for him or some of the higher-ups at the University of Michigan. This would be a repeat offender status for them. They were just slugged with violations involving illegal recruiting of J.J. McCarthy, actually, during COVID. And Coach Harbaugh has been served a penalty. Of course, he's in the NFL now. He really doesn't care. But again, on 11 Warriors, Nicole Auerbach of NBC Sports, the Valenti Show, which I listened to this afternoon from Detroit, the Valenti Show with Rico on 97.1 The Fan in Detroit. All of these places, it's not looking rosy for the Wolverines in terms of this scandal. We'll see how they respond on the field. They get a home game against Fresno State this Saturday, and then their schedule gets tough. The Texas Longhorns come to town the following week, week two. So we'll see how they will respond. what happens. I do have one statistical tidbit that's food for thought about this whole deal. In the 2022 season, when this science-stealing stuff really was getting going, allegedly, here are some stats for Michigan in their 9 Big Ten games, regular season games. In the first half of those 9 games, Michigan outscored their opponents by a margin of 94-74. All but one of those 9 games were one-score games. They trailed Ohio State at the Horseshoe, by the way, 20-17 at halftime of their game. Okay, so that's 94-74 in the first half. In the second half of their 9 Big Ten games in 2022, the combined score was Michigan 157, opponents 20. 157-20. Something happened at halftime. Either they're the greatest team in the history of college football in making halftime adjustments, or maybe something else was going on. Ohio State got 3 points and got beat 45-23, if you recall. I certainly recall. I can't forget it. That was the Ohio State team with C.J. Stroud, Marvin Harrison Jr., Travion Henderson, great offensive line. That was the team that took Georgia, the eventual national champion, to the final play in Georgia in their playoff game. And they went on to win the national championship game by almost 60 points, that Georgia team did. So, food for thought anyway on the U of M scandal, if you will. Okay, let's look ahead to week one. 133 of the 134 FBS schools will be playing this week. The games start Thursday night. There are more than a handful of games on Thursday. There are a few games on Friday, and then there are loads of games Saturday. There's a big one Sunday night, LSU and USC from Las Vegas. And as we mentioned, Florida State and Boston College will play an ACC league game on Monday night. So a very, very full weekend of college football coming up. Let's look at four games specifically. The first one, noon on ABC. Clemson will play Georgia in the Georgia Dome. They've met a couple of times recently. Georgia is a 13-point favorite. It'll be interesting to see Clemson this year. They kind of faltered last year, lost 4 games. They were 4-4 in the ACC. Dabo Swinney is very stubborn. He may be right, he may be wrong. I'm not passing judgment. He has not participated in the transfer portal at all. All those guys playing for Clemson were recruited by Clemson and came there originally. We'll see how that goes. It's a 13-point spread. That seems about right to me. We'll see what happens. That's an interesting one to watch. At noon on Fox, Penn State travels to Morgantown to play the West Virginia Mountaineers. That used to be a yearly battle. They played each other more than 50 times. Penn State, West Virginia, and several other schools of note used to all be Eastern Independents. Syracuse was one. Pitt was one. West Virginia, Penn State, some others, and they used to play yearly. Penn State won nearly all of those games against West Virginia. They won 31 in a row at one point in the series. This game at Morgantown, Penn State is a 9-point favorite. They have a really good team this year. West Virginia has a very good team and a really tough schedule. I'm interested to see how they fare against the Nittany Lions. I'm going to call that one closer than the experts think. Okay, Miami of Florida will play Florida at the Swamp, 3:30 on ABC. The Hurricanes are 2.5-2.5-point favorites over the Gators. The Gators have the toughest schedule in college football this year. It's a tough way for them to start, but they are at home. They are in the Swamp. I really don't trust Miami very much. I'm calling a Gators upset in that one. The final game of note, there are lots of games of note depending on who you root for, but the final game of note is Notre Dame at Texas A&M at 7:30 on ABC. The Irish go down and play Mike Elko's crew. Mike Elko, the former Duke coach, is now the coach of the Aggies. It's a tough place to play, but Notre Dame plays in several of those. A&M is a 3-point favorite. That's kind of the standard home field advantage favorite margin, if you will. I'm going to call the Irish to win that one. They've played under Marcus Freeman. I think they're ready to go, and they'll win. Here's a question for you. Notre Dame has 3 standout, you know, you look at the schedule and go, oh, these 3 games are going to be tough. One is this one at A&M. One is early November against Florida State in South Bend. And their traditional season finale, every other year they play the finale on the road at USC. If they win one of those games and then run the table in their other nine, does a 10-2 Irish team make the playoffs? I gotta think that's an easy yes. TV networks, the committee, they would love to get Notre Dame in the playoff. Let's remember something about Notre Dame's unique situation as an independent as well. Notre Dame cannot be a 1-4 seed. They could go 12-0, be ranked number one in the college football playoff rankings. They do not get a 1-4 seed in a first-round bye. Why? Those are reserved for conference champions of the Big Four conferences. The best Notre Dame can do is a fifth seed and a home game in the first round. That's a interesting, and they agreed to that. Notre Dame agreed to that when they made the new rules for the college football playoff. So keep that in mind as Notre Dame plays their season. The best thing to do, they could run the table 12-0 and be number five seed. But I think Marcus Freeman has a pretty good team this year, and I look for them to maybe eke out a win down there in College Station against the Aggies. Okay, well, I've gone out on the line enough there. I don't think Ohio State will cover the 50-point spread, by the way. I think they'll ease off a little bit, maybe try a field goal as they're going, and win by 40-some against the Zips. Okay, I think that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, if you have any questions or comments on the fifth quarter, please don't hesitate. You can reach us at this email address. It's three good questions, T-H-R-E-E, threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's threegoodquestions@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. So if you have any questions, comments, et cetera, on the college football scene, get in touch with us. We'll try to address them if we can on the podcast. Thanks for choosing us out there. There's lots of podcasts out there. I'm glad you chose us. This is the fifth quarter. I'm John Shomo. Have a great week, everybody.